Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again for this very wonderful Third Space project called Turning Towards Life, and it's our 340-somethingth week. And we're coming into this conversation having had a right old kerfuffle trying to get our video live out into the world, but we think that might be happening, which is wonderful. And Lizzie, it's very fabulous to see you again. Good morning. And welcome to all of you who are with us. We're so pleased that so many of you join us from all over the world, some of you live when we managed to get the live video out, and many of you on YouTube and podcasts and on our turningtowards.life website. And we have, as always, a source to begin our conversation this week, which wonderfully and brilliantly is written by you, Lizzie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Justin. As always, we're going to read and then see what happens. And I'm going to learn about what I'm trying to say, I think. I feel like this little something I've written is the beginning of something, and I don't know if I have many answers, but here we go. So it's called What If We Could Just Tell Each Other? Parts of us lie in quiet, sly shadows, publicly undiscernible, or so we believe. The truth is, they are experienced by others, despite our internal dance to conceal them. When we commit to something and our actions say otherwise, they betray the facade we made to manage others' views of us. If we knew and accepted that we were visible, we'd know there would be no point in trying to hide. How people feel around us reveals so much of us. What if we could just tell each other? Instead of hiding in plain sight, we'd be open to anything anyone brought our way. Here I am, ready and willing to learn.
Lizzie. So here's this source by Lizzie Wynn. What if we could just tell each other? Parts of us lie in quiet, sly shadows, publicly undiscernible, or so we believe. The truth is, they are experienced by others despite our internal dance to conceal them. When we commit to something and our actions say otherwise, they betray the facade we made to manage others' views of us. If we knew and accepted that we were visible, we'd know there would be no point in trying to hide. How people feel around us reveals so much of us. What if we could just tell each other? Instead of hiding in plain sight, we'd be open to anything anyone brought our way. Here I am, ready and willing to learn.
Thanks, Justin. So the image that just came to me as you were reading, Justin, was, when you were little, when I was little, and we'd have our hands over our eyes and think that no one could see us. I think it's kind of like that is what I'm trying to talk about here, which is that I feel like there have been these moments in my life where I've really been convinced that I am not demonstrating something on the inside, on the outside. And then someone tells me that I have been, and I'm like, oh, no. I really thought I was hiding that. Or I really thought that that wasn't something that was in the world. And actually, it is. And I suppose I've experienced moments of real shame of thinking something was private to me, and actually I'd been broadcasting it the whole time, and how cringeful it is to feel that. And a moment just popped into my mind as well when I think my mother-in-law, my very lovely mother-in-law, said to me, "Well, you are a bit of a mess, aren't you?" And I was like, "Every time you come around here, I tidy up." And I try and look like everything is just got some order to it. And clearly that's not enough because you're still saying things are a bit of a mess, you're a bit of a mess kind of thing. And she wasn't saying anything nasty to me or, she's just a very kind, loving person. And yet I thought about that for a long time. I was really kind of disturbed by it. I was like, oh my gosh, all my plans, all my tactics, all the things I get up to make her think that we've got some order around here are completely useless because she can still see it. And of course, that was a moment that, I mean, I think I would say I was a bit wounded. Like, I really didn't want her. She's a, a person of a certain generation where they're very house proud and everything is ordered and very domesticated. And that's not my forte. My forte is being muddled up in puddles and bath time and kerfuffling around. But I don't spend a lot of time thinking, how do I make everything be the order that it should be, which is probably a developmental conversation for me in my whole life going forward and going backwards. But that's not where my talents lie, shall we say. And whatever I had done to conceal that hadn't worked. And it weirdly, as I say, it's kind of weird, but it did kind of hurt. It hurt my feelings. And as I say it, that's kind of confusing to me because I know that about myself. And, but I think it's the kind of shame of, oh, I really tried to cover that up and it didn't work. I think that's what's painful and embarrassing and cringeful and makes my body kind of shudder at the thought of, I think I've got this licked. And everyone's like, no, we can see. And you can't hide that. It's not hideable. So I think that's where this comes from, is the dissonance between the kind of inner experience of feeling something's really private and just mine, and the admission and the learning that actually we're broadcasting everything on the inside to the outside all the time, whether we like it or not, whatever we do to manage each other's image of us, something else is coming through much more strongly. But maybe alongside that, but then it also means people can see all my tactics as well. So anyway, I think it's just this feeling of exposure and, oh gosh, I'm visible. Even if I don't want to be, I am.
There's so much in here, both in what you wrote, Lizzie, and what you just said. So I'm really with you on the sense that so much about ourselves that we think is secret, is private, is hidden, isn't, and it's out in the world, and it's public, and it's very public. And when I think about things with me, more often an example for me would be, being really angry about something or really not liking somebody and thinking that I can hide that away, pretend, oh no, I'm fine. That less for me now, but for a lot of my life this was the thing, until I found out that it was the secret that I thought that I had, that everybody knew about. It was the thing I thought was most secret, turned out to be the thing that everybody knew. And I think that that's often the case with these kind of things about ourselves, like your example of the role of, what did you say? Chaos, did you say? Was that the word you
Just
used?
being like me
Mess,
messy.
like mess, right. The sort of the place that mess plays, or me with anger, and we're both thinking, nobody can, I'm really keeping this secret, nobody, but it turns out everybody knows. And actually, it's such a, in a way, it seems to me, when we figure that out, it's a huge relief. Because I think part of the deal is, what I was thinking whilst you were talking about it, is one of the things that makes this so interesting and complicated and shame-filled is that basically I think the setup goes something like this, which is, I'm going to play the game of hiding something about myself, and I'm going to do my best to recruit you into the game of pretending with me that the thing that I'm trying to hide is invisible. And we do that with one another all the time. So we go around the world. I'm trying to make sure that you buy into my strategy. And you, because you're being a good friend or a good parent or a good aunt or a good whatever, are on the watch out for the ways in which I'm asking you to play along with the game. And in order to get along socially, you're also doing the thing of play along with the game. And very, very quickly, we're all playing roles in a story that's begun somewhere. Actually, it didn't just begin with me, because if I think about me and being angry or disliking people, that also began in a context. There's a reason I took that up. Essentially, we're all recruiting one another into playing roles in a big play. Underneath the surface, if we look, we don't have to look very, very far. If we're honest enough with ourselves and with one another about it, and if somebody said, if you and somebody else who knows me well talked behind my back and said, "What's the thing that everyone knows about Justin that nobody's saying?" You'd work it out pretty quickly. I'm sure there'd be many, many other things you could say. But also, if you asked me, and if I was honest enough, I'd say, "Oh, yeah, almost certainly the way that I make myself look like I'm getting along with people all the time when I'm not." And what makes that really hard is that all of these games, this drama gets started because we're trying to protect very tender parts of ourselves. So I'm not, in saying what I'm saying, trying to say this is some terrible thing that should never have begun or something. Although I think you're asking, in this great bit of writing, it seems to me you're asking us, what do we do when we begin to see it? But what a giant, a giant social game that we've made. And if you're a sensitive person, which you are, you might in many circumstances feel the shame that I would feel if you said to me, "Oh, come on, Justin, just tell me you're really, really angry with me." And so not ask me, because you would feel the way that I would feel, ashamed or frightened or something, so you're not going to ask me. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm feeling that way, because to do so would reveal something tender and in me that I'm frightened about bringing into the world. And so we both play. And then now and again, somebody who is either a combination of courageous and generous, or frankly isn't paying attention to the dynamics of shame and tenderness, comes along and just says to us the thing that everybody can see. And then I think of all the times this happened to me, I feel ashamed and exposed and terrified and collapsed and all this. And at the same time, it's also a bit of a relief that somebody can actually see the thing that I'm up to. And if it's kind, because it's somebody I know who loves me and who cares for me, we've actually got the chance to say to one another, "I can see the thing. The thing that you think nobody can see, I can see it." But then we can love it in one another rather than join in the inner chorus of, this thing for me about historically never be angry, never be disappointed, never be whatever, was also such a matter of such, I was so sure it was terrible to be angry with people, that it took somebody who wasn't going to join in this hiding in plain sight and say to me, "I can see that you're really furious. Maybe that's okay. Maybe it's all right just to be as you are." We can really help one another out of this. But actually, I suppose what I'm reaching for is, isn't it amazing the way in which, in order to keep one another safe, we all play along willingly. We all recruit one another, and we all get recruited in doing this with one another. And maybe sometimes it's useful. Maybe sometimes there are places where it makes sense, but there are lots of places where it doesn't make sense, where we're still doing it. I think that's the thing that's occurring to me.
I'm really taken by this recruitment thing, and the other part for me is we know we're being recruited and we still do it. Like suddenly it's quite hilarious that we're all up to this dance of I'm trying to do everything to make you think I'm a tidy person, and you're going, "Oh, how tidy you are," and I'm going, "Oh, he thinks I'm tidy," but it's like I know I'm not, and you know I'm not, and so there's this like layers So it's quite a hilarious little excellent dance. And the other thing you said that was so lovely was if we could love those parts. So if you could love the part of me that's trying to have you think that I'm tidy, I can find a sweetness in that. Like I can find a like a weird kind of counter to the fact that clearly somewhere along the line I've learned that the world thinks everyone should be tidy. And I'm trying to live up to that standard through showing you that I am that when I'm not that. But somewhere in the world, I've learned that tidiness is better than messiness. And so when you come to my house, I have to make you think that I'm a tidy person because that's what the world has told me that I should be in all humans' eyes. And I'm that, yeah, that's kind of or suddenly becoming really curious to me that that is what all of this is made of in a way is, and maybe other things too. But one big thing is like what the world thinks. So as you said, the world has told you that you shouldn't be angry and there shouldn't be discord with other human beings. So that shouldn't happen. And so you have to have all these things in place to have that not be true for you or for others' perception of you, whatever. So it's, yeah, I feel quite discombobulated by the dance that I can feel and see that we're all in. And then when we're in contact with someone who loves that about us, so I can say to you, I'm much more interested in finding out who you're angry with and why. And let's talk about that rather than dancing the dance of and complimenting you on how peaceful you are all the time and how, whatever else I could do in that recruited dance. If I can say, I'm so interested in your anger, tell me more, and have a different story about anger than the kind of cultural norm of what it is, then things become interesting. And likewise, you could say, well, this mess makes me feel welcome. Thank you for having me here without being put together. Thank you for inviting me into intimacy. I'm interested in that rather than being dancing the dance of my tidiness dance. So I'm really loving this possible way of looking at one another where we can be in the conversation of acknowledging the dances that we're trying to orchestrate and relating to them differently, because then what's underneath or what's real can be right here with us. And I suppose this is my partly this came out of like a fantasy world that I've created in my mind where everyone tells each other the truth with love and straightforwardness and warmth and humor. And we know one another's sly shadowinesses and they don't have to be sly anymore. They can just be part of the conversation. Oh, look, Justin, I'm doing that thing again where I'm trying to make you think that I've got everything sorted out. I haven't. I'm completely half-baked. And this is actually who I really am. And I'm winging it royally. And I'm not very organized. And of course, there's parts of me that are organized too. I think that's the other thing. It's like there are parts of you that does get on with like the majority of people that you meet probably. It's not like throwing everything into the same pot or something because it's all right next to one another. But that we can relate to those things, like they're right size. So they're part of us. They're not all of us. They're part of us, but those parts don't get kind of pushed to the side because of the mutual agreement of the dance that we're supposed to do as human beings being done. So this is my fantasy, that we are in relationships with humans where all of this truth that's underneath that isn't maybe isn't socially acceptable or something gets to be alive, gets to have life running through it rather than it being in a dark, dank kind of cave that never gets to be seen and yet runs the show. I think that's the other thing is that while it's sly and in the shadows, it has such power. I can feel the power of something being publicly available, but me being in denial about it or pretending it's not there, and you doing the same. And actually, also, when you were speaking, Justin, I could feel that when, like in relationship, if there's a lot in the shadows and it's not being brought forth in some way, it's very tiring to be in relationship with that, both in myself and with others. So I can feel how if I've got a lot that I'm trying to hide, and it's hard for me to be transparent and undefended in the world. It's exhausting for me to be that way. And then, as you said, like I feel like I'm a sensitive person. Like I can feel lots of things. And if I'm with someone where there's a lot going on, but it's not really being said or revealed in some way, I find that really exhausting to be within another too. So I'm also feeling into the profound liberation of doing this work, of bringing what's on the inside and apparently only for me, but not really, into the field of relationship, into the field of loving kindness, where we can be with these things and talk about them. It feels liberatory to me, and it feels energetically pressure relieving, freeing, spacious making. I can feel the breath in it rather than the contraction in it, because also there's so much energy required to keep this all at bay, because somehow it also wants to be seen. Otherwise, it wouldn't be publicly available in a way. I can see the funniness of hiding and how much energy it takes to hide versus how little energy it takes to be real. And that feels very compelling to me right now.
Well, I'm really mindful of this line you wrote at the bottom, towards the end. How people feel around us reveals so much of us. That the truth is that if when we each drop down below the parts of us, like the protective parts of us that play their role in this dance, like I'm hiding that I'm annoyed. And you're playing along, you've got a protector part that doesn't want to shame me or feel ashamed yourself for shaming me. So you're playing along with the, like, you can feel, if you were to really drop down, you'd feel how cross I am. You've been a person like this for me because that's the kind of relationship we have. I mean, the kind of person who'll tell me, not the kind of person who'll go along with it. We can, where if we drop down, we can often feel it. Like, I come round to your house for tea, and you've madly tidied everything up to show me how unmessy and how, you know, what a absolutely together in every way person you are. And I can, if I'm allow myself to be sensitive, I'll feel it. Or you could come round to me, and you can feel, if you let yourself be sensitive enough, that I'm angry with you, or angry with the world, or angry with someone else. And a lot of the time, we dance. We join in the dance above all of that, so we'll feel it underneath, but we won't necessarily pay any attention to that. But like you said, it's shaping things all the time. We and that the invitation to come in underneath to what's more true is also an invitation to contact and intimacy and connection and realness. And I can think of so many occasions where there's been somebody who really matters to me, and we've spent time together in some way, and we've hot. We can just end the time, because feel walk away feeling we just hovered in the dance here. We never really, and then it feels very different to be in contact with the realness underneath. So I'm really with you in this longing, this aspiration to have more and more places where, instead of hiding in plain sight, we bring to one another. I think I also want to stand for the goodness, or the good intention of the dance, because it gets started for good reason. And certainly there are certain occasions where the kind of intimacy and contact you've been inviting isn't really the thing that's appropriate. So it seems to me it's like a proper polarity, where we've got sort of dancing and hiding on the one hand, and getting more and more real on the other hand. And I think that the difficulty that we have is that for many of us in our culture, we learn the dancing and hiding really well, and we don't have very many places where we can get more and more real. It's safe to get more and more real and in contact with the thing that's going on. And that's what this whole conversation is sort of like a corrective to, is wondering how, that's at least what's happening in me. how do we more and more be the people who where it's safe for us to be with one another, for me to say to you, Lizzie, I can see all this like looking perfect and polished. It's not the thing that's really most real at this moment in time, is it? There's this. Or you can say to me, I can feel how frustrated and annoyed you are. Maybe it's with me. Maybe you could tell me about it. That brings us into realness and aliveness. But we have to really be prepared to be incredibly loving to do this. We have to be loving with one another, and we have to be loving with ourselves to make it safe for, like in me, for the part that I've had to do a lot of creating safety in myself. To allow that which gets angry in me to get expressed, and often anger has a very important role. Cuts through things, it challenges when important values are being transgressed, it stands for principles, it's ethical. Often anger in me, in a way that getting along with people sometimes isn't. So I've had to do a lot of taking care of all the frightened parts in me so that the parts that get angry also have a place. And I've also needed to be around people who would make it safe enough and welcome enough and who could stay and who could still stay when I stopped playing the game of looking calm and agreeable. And that's so there's work that there's things that we helps for us to learn to do for ourselves to do what this vision that you're asking of us. Sort of inviting, and then there's things that we need to do with one another. We need to be able to do for one another. And the thing that I know doesn't help is me judging you because I can see that you've got some game going on, is judging you for being someone who's playing a game and hiding something and wanting to shame you out of it, somehow proving that the very reason you were playing this game was the right reason to play the game. Like I could try and do that, but that would be deeply, deeply cruel. And incredibly unhelpful, and it's never going to get us anywhere. So that's feel like there's like with many of the things that we talk about, and many of the things that you've written, there's so many days of conversation to go to happen, which we won't do now. Just starting to open the question: who do we have to be for ourselves, and who do we have to be for one another, that we would just tell one another what's going on?
Yeah, it's quite what I know about the relationships in my life that have become the ones where we can just tell each other is that it feels like, I think even in the safest places in my life, it still feels like jeopardy. Like it's not, even when it's very loving, like you say, it's still filled with like, can I tell the truth? Like I just don't think the world is like, certainly my family system wasn't one where the truth being told was just breezy and easy. And so I know that there has to be proper safety and security for me to bring these places that I try and have other people not see. And of course, it's a path. And so over the years, it's like more of me gets to be here and less of me is hiding. And the way that it can come forth is, as you say, is safety, is people who, like me being willing to take risks, but also people who don't turn their backs or close their eyes or wince or just run in the opposite direction or something. And the other thing as well, Justin, I think it's another example for me of how we're not separate from one another. So me saying and having the courage and having the faith and safety in myself to say, this is what's going on underneath, or this is one of my shadowy things that I have, is such a relief for other people because then they know that I'm safe because they, and then they can do the same thing. So I feel like we're not separate in the processing of this, in the revealing of ourselves. And it's one of the reasons why I love any kind of group work, because that phenomena, I think, is completely multiplied, like exponentially. If I can be in a group of people who are all up to the same kind of healing, revealing, bringing ourselves to life more fully practices, if I can be in that space and let this kind of openness come forth, and or someone else in the group does it, it gives the chance for anyone to do it. Like it's a really, I think, a really big act of leadership to say, I not okay, or I am a mess, or I feel angry, or anything that isn't part of the social dance, to bring it forth in a safe place, and for us to be people who make safe places for this to happen, feels like such an important thing. And then the gift can be given in multiple directions. And we all start doing this work of telling one another and telling ourselves. I think that's also where it needs to start in some way, is so many times it comes through others, like my mother-in-law telling me that I'm a messy person, and then me having to kind of swallow that and be traumatized in myself about it and work on it and whatever. And then being able to say here, I'm messy, and not feeling diminished, and not feeling less than, and not feeling stupid, and not feeling embarrassed, but just being like, yeah, that's true about me, and being okay with that, and being undefended about it. It's a very different life to be able to say, yes, that's who I am, and that's what I'm being like. And maybe it will change one day. Who knows? Maybe I want to change it, and maybe it can't, or whatever. Just being straightforward with myself, I think, is a really important start to this whole thing. And I want to thank this space, Justin, for being straightforward, and thank our community of listening people, the energy of which allows us to reveal ourselves here and be true and honest and not polished. And in a way, that was kind of part of the initial creation of this, is that we wouldn't be polished, we wouldn't be edited, we wouldn't check it all, would be fine, we would be alive and see what came. And I'm really grateful for the space, as ever, as each week I am. And thank you to everybody for listening, and for us being like this with one another, Justin. It feels very, very important and good. I'm really grateful. And as always, there's many things to say about this that we didn't say. And it's one of those lovely tensions that has to live in us forever. But we'll be back next week, everybody, with another source chosen by Justin next time. And we really hope you'll join us.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.